Is that why our pews are empty? Simply because a person did not understand the holy sacrifice of the Mass and what's going on there?
Well, I think we haven't understood the holy sacrifice of the Mass for a while. Or worse, maybe we did understand it and wished it was different, or wished it could be experienced differently. But it ended up being so differently that it radically changed how people received and experienced what they are meant to from it.
Can you give me a concrete example of what you mean by that?
Well, I think if people go to a poorly celebrated Mass that's all about everyone that's there, where from the first song that they sing, it's about we, us, and ourselves, and the homily is just sort of like some canned thing from online with a couple of jokes to get people laughing. And during the sign of peace, all you hear is ruckus and chuckling and laughing. Oh, peace, peace. And I don't know that someone comes out of that feeling like they just knelt at the foot of the cross at Calvary as the Son was re-presented to the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how you could arrive at the conclusion that that is what has happened. And we all know that we have lived through some decades of that in North America, particularly, being, if not the norm, at least typical or easily encountered. And so if that sort of banality, to use a word that Pope Benedict often used to describe his concerns about our modern experience of liturgy, banality meaning that it's just so earthly, so this worldly, as opposed to the otherworldliness that the Mass is supposed to be, it's hard to imagine that someone could sufficiently have their mind and heart lifted to what the Mass is meant and ordered towards drawing us into, the mystery it's meant to draw us into. And so as a consequence, I think people can begin to think incorrectly about all sorts of other things. If we don't think about the most important things correctly, the lesser of important things are surely going to also fall by the wayside.
Interesting. So then let's talk about the Mass. If it's to understand it correctly, we're lifting up our hearts and our minds to the Lord. Is it a distraction? I mean, there's many things we could say about the Mass, but is it a distraction then if we're trying to lift our hearts and minds up to the Lord, if we're always seeing the priest's face? What I'm getting at, of course, as you know, is the posture of the priest, where whether he's celebrating the Mass looking at everyone or facing the people or facing towards the altar. Does the posture of the priest shape our understanding of the Mass? And how do you think, if we want to help people's understanding of the Mass, what's the best posture?
Yeah, I don't think it's impossible for people to not be distracted at a Mass where the priest is facing them. That has a lot to do with how the priest carries himself. If a priest is facing the people, which is by and large now, 99% of the time, that's the norm in our average parish, it's on him to make sure that he's not unnecessarily attracting attention to himself. That doesn't mean attracting attention to how he carries himself. It means him, people paying attention to him. I remember once after celebrating a Mass, I always stand outside after to greet my parishioners as they're leaving. And a guy came by and gave me a firm handshake, and I smiled at him and he said, "Geez, Father, you got a $1 million smile." And I said, "Well, thank you." He said, "It wouldn't hurt if you showed it to us during Mass sometimes." It caught me off guard. Like, he sort of went from what I thought was a compliment to like this sort of dig at the fact that I don't smile during Mass. And I said to him, "If I'm smiling to you right now, why do I have to smile at you during Mass?" He said, "Because you look miserable up there." I said, "Well, don't look at me. that, and so that was an example of where I thought, this is a possible distraction. Why are people noticing how I look? How I look is inconsequential to what's going on. So yes, of course it can be a distraction. But he would have also been distracted, except pleasantly distracted. If I was smiling all the time and waving at people and making it to feel like it was something that it isn't. That's its own kind of distraction, even if we welcome it, even if we think it's nice or makes us feel good. So I acknowledge that the priest facing the people automatically opens up a door to distractibility. But I don't think it's an automatic conclusion that no one who attends a mass where the priest is facing the people can enter into the reverence and the mystery of that mass. I don't think we can say that, go that far. But Father Raymond de Souza recently had an article that I found quite interesting, in which he argues that, he says, we will be in the future, heading into the future of the church, he believes we will be returning to facing the altar, that priest and people all facing together. You know, as someone once said, they wouldn't feel very comfortable riding on a bus where the bus driver was looking at them, you know? I think that's a helpful way of reminding us, if the priest was facing the altar at the Mass, it's not because he's ignoring them, it's not his back to the people, as it's been put. It's them all facing together the direction of the Father, the one whom they are worshiping, that he is leading his people and interceding for them, an intermediary on their behalf. And so it has nothing to do with neglecting them. And if you're not looking at him because there's nothing to look at, then I think it stands to reason that you would at least on that account be less distracted.
Well, I think it's just on the distractibility. It's much more when you're looking at someone. If you don't want a person to focus on the priest, then turn him around. It would seem if that is a problem, then that is much a quicker fix than just saying, stop looking at him and focus more on the Mass. I mean, you can say that, sure, okay, let's focus on the Mass. Let's not look at the priest's personality. Let's not look for his smile. You can say all that. Well, okay, just turn him around. And it just makes it a lot easier. If you think that is a big distraction, a big problem during the Mass. I haven't read that article. I'm interested to see it. In terms of
use. But just remember that you were presupposing people understanding what they're doing there in the first place. Mm. Right? And so I don't think that's an automatic presupposition that we should be making. I think there's many Catholics who, out of a sense of either obligation or routine, or even just they don't know why they feel the way they feel about being at Mass, but they know it's a good thing, and so they go. There's nothing wrong with being at Mass for any of those reasons. But if you are at Mass for any of those reasons, it doesn't mean you automatically appreciate what you are part of, what you are participating in. And so to introduce, I guess I wouldn't say introduce, to reintroduce a custom that was very long-standing, we're talking centuries and centuries of the priest facing the altar and not the people, without adequate appreciation or understanding of what any of us are doing there in the first place, I would venture to say that it's not automatically the case that they'll instantly say, ah, this is how it should be. Mm-hmm. I think in itself it could become a huge distraction where people can't help but say, what is going on? Like, I can't believe that Father doesn't look at us anymore. What is that supposed to mean? So there would need to be a very sufficient amount of instruction and clarification, not just about why Father's doing this, but about what we're doing here in general. Right. Why are we here? And that, to our earlier discussion about, you know, fallacies and being plagued by misunderstandings, that's how a fallacy gets addressed. That's how you correct an erroneous way of thinking, is you take some steps back and say, where have we gone astray? Where is there a point of confusion that has been entered into our premises? And if someone's premise is, I come to Mass because it makes me feel good, that's a false premise. It might make you feel good, and that's wonderful, but that is not why you come to Mass. So you are going to arrive at a false conclusion, even if there are some truths sown into it. That's how a fallacy works. I've often said, if people truly grasped what is occurring in the celebration of the Holy Eucharist, almost all our problems would be resolved. If we really, really knew what was happening at Mass, what we were witnessing in that most sacred of moments on earth, I don't know that we'd be lost in these rabbit holes of speculative theology and looking for affirmation of a whole variety of things that until now would have probably been seen as just obviously contrary to the gospel. I don't think we would be in that position if we were very Eucharistic focused and our lives were entirely consumed by the Holy Eucharist.
So let's answer that question. Why do we go to Mass?
Because of religion. This is the misunderstanding of our time, I'm convinced. People do not understand what religion is. Religion is a virtue. It is a subset of the general virtue of justice, the cardinal virtue of justice. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the cardinal virtue of justice is actually the highest of the cardinal virtues, because justice means rendering unto another what is their due. And so in the sub-virtue of justice, which we call religion, we are rendering to God what is his due. I've often said, I'm so grateful for the new translation of the Mass into English that we received in 2011. And the most important change that I don't know if we've ever fully appreciated how significant this was is when we went from saying at the part of the Mass where the priest says, let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We used to say, it is right to give him thanks and praise. Now we say, it is right and just. And then the priest says, it is truly right and just. Our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. It is right and just, truly right and just. That's why we go to Mass, because it is right and just. It is not about what I get. It is not about how I feel. It is not about whether or not Father gave a homily that made sense to me today or not. I have come to Mass to worship God in the manner in which he has asked to be worshiped, not how I want to worship him. This is another misconception. Our preferences have no place in the Mass. There's just no excuse to ever say, well, I don't like it that way. That doesn't matter. Whether you like something or not has no bearing, and I'm talking to the person in the pew, or the priest, or the bishop, or the pope who's saying the Mass. Your preference is inconsequential. We do what the church asks because the liturgy is the church's. It is a gift from God to his church, and that we return to him. I always like to use this analogy. You have lots of kids, Ken. You've mm-hmm. probably done this before. You go and buy yourself one of those nice plaid shirts you wear. And then you put it in a box, and you write on it, to Daddy, love one of your children. And then you wrap it, and you give it to your daughter, and you say, tomorrow's Daddy's birthday, so you give this to him tomorrow. And then tomorrow, she comes running in the room and says, happy birthday, Daddy. And you say, oh, well, thank you. What is it? And you open it, and she's just gleeful watching you open this present. And you take it and say, thank you. It's just what I wanted. I love it. Now, what in the heck just happened there? What happened was, as a father, you wanted to delight in watching your child give a gift. So you facilitated the entire thing for her, just to watch her delight at being able to give you a gift you got yourself that you did not need her for.
Mm-hmm.
That is what's happening in the Mass. There's a beautiful preface in the Mass. It's called Common Preface Number 4. We often use it on weekdays. It's that part of the Mass where the priest says, "The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks." And then it says, "Although you have no need of our praise, yet our desire to thank you is itself your gift. Since our praises add nothing to your greatness, but profit us for salvation through Christ our Lord." That is the essence of the Mass. That is the essence of worship. That is the essence of religion. We are giving something to God that He has inspired us to give Him because it's good for us to give it to Him. And He wants to bless us by giving us this thing to give back to Him. We have to be thinking in those terms when we go to Mass. And therefore, the most common thing you hear from lapsed Catholics who no longer practice their Catholic faith is, "I wasn't getting anything out of it anymore." Well, your mistake was thinking you were supposed to be. You don't go to Mass to get something out of it for you. But when you go to Mass only wanting to give something to the Father, you will get something out of it. Because in His goodness and in His generosity, He will always outdo us. So when we think about it in those terms, when we have our mind focused on what is right and just, only then are we properly disposed to receive back from it what was meant for us in the first place.
Wonderful points. I mean, especially that it really has nothing to do with our preferences. Right now, being the father of 7 children, our oldest just turned 12 yesterday. When I go to Mass, it's hard. Everything about going to Mass is hard. Before, when I was single, it was easy. I'd jump into a vehicle, I drove to Mass. It was so easy. I got to close my eyes, I focused on the prayers. Like, everything about it was easy. I have to say, everything about going to Mass right now is hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get the kids out of the bed. You got to dress them. You got to put the diapers on. You got to make sure you got the bottles. Everyone is fed. You don't have crumbs on the face before you head out. You get them into the car seats. You buckle up. You get to church, hopefully on time. And then you have to find a spot for a whole bunch of kids. And if you get late, well, then you're all spread out all over. You can't do that. So then you're in the back in the gym or foyer. And then you sit down and then someone throws up or has to go to the bathroom or there's a diaper that needs to be changed. Like there is nothing about the experience right now that's easy. And I have come to the conclusion that my only consolation about going to Mass right now is that it's right and just.
Yes. Yes.
Because I have no other one. Because everyone else, every other consolation has been currently stripped from me.
Yes. But the most important consolation is that it is your duty and your salvation.
Hmm.
You are being saved. You are in the process of being saved from your sin, of inheriting eternal life. Every time you put yourselves through the hell that it is every Sunday to get your family to Mass,
mm-hmm.
you're doing it because it is right and just, and God rewards that dutifulness with salvation.
Beautiful. And it's funny because that actually bring a consolation. It really does bring a joy, knowing that we did something right and good. And this was actually the best use of our time because this is what God wants. Like, I'm still tired. There's still chaos. But I know this was exactly God's will for this day on Sunday to go to Mass, or if we can get during the week. It's just the doing the duty is a great joy. Mm-hmm. A lot of times in life, I think sometimes we don't know what the right thing to do is. There's gray areas. you know, in terms of should I do A or should I do B? And it's not always clear. But when you know absolutely that I have a duty to God to worship Him on Sunday, there is no doubt of A or B. It is A, the first thing. And so because I know this absolutely, then there's a delight in this. I got it right. A lot of things I don't get right. Mm-hmm. But at least I got this one.
Right. Exactly.